rocked the world. And if you and I will allow it, it will rock our lives. It'll set us free from doubt and despair. It'll set us free from cynicism, hopelessness, if we will allow it. What we celebrate this day will rock us to the very core. As I was looking at this text, I couldn't help but think of that chant at basketball games and football games, you know, the we will rock you. Yeah. I went to Temple, and the Temple is a perennial favorite in the Atlantic 10 tournament. And for years, that was always at the Palestra on the Penn campus where Charlie Kopp played ball. And the Palestra only holds 8,000 people, but to be in there with 8,000 young people who are pretty excitable when your team is ahead, even if you are the most quiet, somber, sober person in the world, you're participating. Well, the truth is that if we can show our enthusiasm and excitement for a mere game that means nothing in light of eternity, we need to be able to come together and stomp our feet and clap our hands to announce that He will rock you. In this passage that Gary just read for us, I wanted to go back and look again at the cross and that moment right after Jesus breathed his last was an incredible moment that literally shook the world. Literally. And look again at what happened then. And read again those words of Matthew and how he spoke of four important ways that the death and resurrection of Jesus rocked the world. First of all, he says that the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now, in the temple, between the main sanctuary and that smaller room that we know as the Holy of Holies, there was this thick woven curtain. It was about 6 inches thick, we're told in the scripture. And this curtain hung from the ceiling to the floor, and it separated the Holy of Holies, where God was believed to dwell, from the rest of the temple sanctuary. And only the chief priest was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, listen, if I was God, I would not want to spend 364 days a year all by myself in a room with no windows. I don't think that was God's desire. And that's what the cross was all about. It was about tearing that temple, opening it up, saying, our God is an awesome God all about. It was about tearing that temple, opening it up, saying, our God is an awesome God and not held hostage in some room where only special people can meet Him. That our awesome God is available whenever, wherever we seek Him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The second important thing that this moment following the death of Jesus reveals is Matthew said that the earth shook and rocks split open. Now, we maybe have a little bit of a hard time imagining what that would feel like, what that would look like. If you lived along the San Andreas Fault out in California, you would have no difficulty imagining that at all. Or if you were living in Henryville, Indiana, back in March, or in Dallas, Texas, just this past week when they had those horrific tornadoes, we might be able to begin to imagine what it was like for the earth to shake and for the rocks to be split open. Now, it's true that Mother Nature sometimes does things that are cruel. But our God shakes the earth, not out of a sense of cruelty, but out of a desire to shake us loose from those things that will harm us, that will hurt us. Look at this word found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 68. When your God went out before your people, when he marched through the wilderness, the earth shook. The heavens poured down rain before God, the Holy One of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. You see, when God shakes us, it is always with a creative purpose in mind. God wants to shake us loose from our chains, from our bondage, from our doubt, from our cynicism, from our hatred. God will shake you if you'll let him. And then thirdly, Matthew tells us that tombs were opened and the dead were set free. Now, I think maybe you need to have a pretty good imagination to envision that. In our more rationalistic, materialistic culture, things like this, when we read about them in the scriptures, our eyes kind of gloss over and we move on to the next thing. We find them quite unbelievable. And yet, if you were to go to Israel today, if you were to go to Jerusalem today and stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the Kidron Valley separating the Temple Mount from the Mount of Olives, you would see almost every square inch of soil with a tomb above ground. Because you see, the Jewish people expected that when the Messiah came, on the day of resurrection, these tombs would be broken open and the dead would come to life. That's probably the most expensive soil in the world. A lot more expensive to buy a little postage stamp piece of land right there next to the Temple Mount than a mansion in Beverly Hills. God's people have always believed in the impossible, have always believed that with God, nothing is too difficult. And they took so they could be right there in the middle of the action when Messiah came and declared the day of resurrection. Our God will rock us if we'll allow him. And then there's a final thing that Matthew tells us. Talks about this centurion whose heart was rocked, whose heart was changed. I thought centurions were just regular soldiers, and I did a little reading and found out that a centurion was a division leader or a company leader, one who was placed over a company of at least 100 men. And listen to what Publius, a Roman historian, writes. In order to be a centurion, one had to have unusually high intelligence and physical stamina. If a man was chosen to be a centurion, he was the elite of a chosen few, kind of like a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger. These guys didn't get faint at the sight of blood. They didn't get overly sentimental at an execution. And yet, this leader of leaders, this war-hardened centurion, as he witnessed what Jesus said and did as he hung on the cross, he said, "Surely he was the Son of God." What was it that changed his heart? What was it that rocked his heart? Well, in the midst of chaos, with people shouting and hammering nails and thrusting spears and throwing a spear with vinegar into his face when he talked about being thirsty, in the midst of that chaos, there was Jesus. And he responded to the jeers by saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't really understand what they're doing." And in response to the hopelessness and the despair of those two soldiers, those two criminals, one on each side, Jesus turned to the one and said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." And in response to the brutality that was all around, Jesus looked down at his mother and saw one of his disciples, John, the only one of the disciples who dared to come. And he said, "Mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He cared for his mother. In the midst of hatred that was so thick that you could cut it with a butter knife, what that centurion saw was pure love. The kind of love of which Jesus was speaking when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down their life for their friends." Last October, there was a tragedy out in Riverside, California, when a young mother was out with a stroller walking her 2-year-old daughter, and she approached the Metrolink train tracks, and just as the gates were coming down, and she thought, "Oh, no problem, I can make it," and she headed out across the tracks, and one of the wheels of the stroller got caught in the track, and she fussed with it and tried to get it out, and was able to dislodge the wheel just in the nick of time and push the stroller to safety before she was crushed. Listen to the newspaper article. The headline, it reads, "Mother sacrificed herself to save her 2-year-old daughter." And then the article goes on to read, "Susan DeBain, 33 years old, desperately tried to free her 2-year-old daughter as a Metrolink commuter train bore down on her in Riverside, California. In a final moment of heroism, she managed to free the buggy and push her child clear, but did not have enough time to get herself free. An emotional Paul Dabane, the child's father, said of his wife's sacrifice, "I feel like she paid the ultimate sacrifice. She gave her life to save her daughter. The panic and the fear could have caused you to just freeze. It could have taken both their lives." For me, one of the amazing things about this story is that I read this article in the London Daily Mail. It made international headlines with people shot and killed every day by the tens of thousands. This story made headlines in London, England. Why? Because our hearts are always touched by stories of self-sacrifice. That's the power of the story of the cross. That's why that hardened Roman centurion had his heart broken open that day. That's why the story of Jesus and his love for 2,000 years has rocked the world. And that's why that story, his story, if we make it our story, will continue to rock our lives. Let's rise to our feet and rock this place.